శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీ గౌర భక్తవింద హరే కృష్ణ కృష్ణ హరే 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 రామ హరే రామ. ఇన్ ద పాస్ట్ యు డిడ్ సమ్ డ్రామాస్? నో, నాట్ ఈవెన్ వన్ ఇన్ లాస్ట్
ఫ్యూ మంత్స్. In Kadamakananda Swami's
short one,
yeah.
Brahmana.
And then, no one here does the, what do they call it, the process.
You were never asked to, or...
Yeah, the teachers didn't teach like that. No drawings, no dramas, no... A few debates.
A few debates, yeah.
Well, I'm an actor. This is my boss.
No,
this is the boss of my theater in Croatia.
Yeah. So today, who are the actors? You are one.
He's one. Oh. He's the boss.
We need one, two, three. We need Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We need Advaita Acharya. And we need a messenger and few students, unfortunate students. Now you remember, Bhajan, this morning we are narrating that pastime that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu never chastised Advaita Acharya.
Yeah, but then he started preaching the Mayavadi philosophy so that he would attract the chastisement of Mahaprabhu.
Yeah, so by now you are well versed with Mayavad. You're expected to know Vidya and Avidya and Jnana Khand and Karma Khand. But today, towards the end, we'll talk a little more today. And want to see short drama on this topic? You heard the story this morning. You heard the pastime this morning. And you're studying Isha Upanishad. So Upanishad defeats Mayavad or Jnana Khand. And today let's talk of Vidya and Avidya. Avidya, that's Karma Khand, is no good. But Vidya is universe. Jnana Khand is universe. So is that okay? So who will just... I think the, you'll be one of the, who you would be. I think there will be a few lines for Advaita Acharya. He is the one who has to do some preaching, Mayavad preaching. For
Advaita Acharya, and I'm good at Mayavad.
Okay, so he'll be preaching Mayavad. And few students, unfortunate students, could listen to Mayavad philosophy. And then someone overhears and he runs to Mayapur and informs Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Huh? You are Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You don't have to take permission. Hmm? Yeah, so that he becomes happy. Whatever it takes. The messenger goes to Mayapur and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu comes running and angry. Advaita, where is? And then he finds Advaita still going strong with his Mayavad presentation, and then he grabs him and punches. Okay, so that's you too, Advaita Acharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then other parts are easy. One messenger. Who is messenger? December is also good, but he's not here. But he hasn't heard now. Now he has to explain the whole thing. Yeah, so one of you, he has to hear. From a distance he hears what's going on in Shantipur, what kind of preaching is going on. And then he runs to Mayapur and informs Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. You know, did he hear? What is it? Tell me. You know. Advaita, So who do that part? Messenger. Messenger. Huh? Yeah? Yeah, you're enthusiastic. A few students, you can, you just grab some students. Or you could preach.
Your whole class.
Yeah, like Prahlad Maharaj.
Come here and preach.
He converted the whole classroom into the audience. He had to do the other way around. Reverse. Okay? So we'll do that towards the end. A little drama today.
Yeah.
Advaita Acharya, for his pleasure, will be pleased. What we heard this morning, and then what we hear in the class today, put that into practice. A little drama. And so we have verses 9, 10, and 11 also today. So that leaves 7 verses, 7 more. So we have 3 more days. Right? You're doing your calculation? Today is Thursday. So Friday, Saturday,
Sunday
is the last day. Sunday morning. Remember, be prepared for Sunday morning Ishvarupanishad. Last class is in the morning.
No,
same time as Bhagavatam. Yeah? Yeah, most probably here. So verse number 9. Andham tamaha pravishyanti. E vidyam upasate, tato bhuya eva te tamo, yayu vidyayam rataha. Andham tamaha pravishyanti. Ye vidyayam upasate, tato bhuya eva te tamo, yayu vidyayam rataha.
Engaged in the culture of new science activities. I'm entering into the darkness region of ignorance, whose worst years are those engaged in the culture of so-called knowledge.
Yes. Andham tamaha pravishyanti. We have come across similar verse before. Pravishyanti. Asurya namate loka andhena tamasa vratah. Mantra 3. Asurya namate loka andhena tamasa vratah. Abhigachyanti and pravishyanti. Similar. Gachanti, pravishyanti, entering something. Darkness of ignorance, entrance in darkness of ignorance. So those who go against this, while we're studying mantra 3, those who go against what kind of consciousness? Ishavasha consciousness. And they kill the souls. Those who go against the Ishavasha consciousness, or understanding that Lord's residence is everywhere, and is active everywhere, is controller, and he is certainly proprietor of everything. All this knowledge, all this. So anyone who goes against this. And prior to that was the beginning, Om Purnamadaha Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vasishyate. The Lord is complete and perfect, and His emanations are also complete and perfect. His world is complete, full of His energies, full of His Shakti coming from Him. So those who do not understand that, their destination, Asurya Namate Loka, the planets meant for Asuras, which are full of darkness, and that way, so they kill their souls. Eke Chatmahano Janaha. And then, so here again, similar thought. Andham Tamasaha Pravishanti. So, who is this party now that enters the darkness of ignorance?
Educated man.
Educated, so called.
Yeah.
Highly educated, meaning ignorant. Avidya upasate. We were in Ahmedabad a few weeks ago, and we're going to one college engagement, medical college. We had a program for the medical students. So on the way to the college, we noticed that the educated people, or educated doctors, or educated class, they were also dressed in their boots and suits and coats and pants and. And then there were other people, more common folks were also there. There was a hospital nearby and other general mass of people. So as we were passing through there, we were noticing some sadhus were going by. So not so educated, or they may be coming from village background or simple folks. They were very respectful. Bapu, they call. But the other educated people, they didn't take even notice. They just ignored us. They were just busy, engrossed with their whatever gossip they were having. They didn't pay much attention, or they just looked and got back into their talks or whatever they were doing. So when the devotee was making observation, just see those people and those people. More educated you are, more polished animals. Other day we saw some polished animals. So those kind of more proud, more ignorant, more disobedient, disrespectful, uncultured, envious, all those lower nature qualities get cultivated. Our students smoking, they didn't care. They kept smoking. They looked at us. They didn't throw their cigarettes away. Like those sons of Kubera, Narad Muni was passing by and they were
wasting water.
They just kept doing their sports with those young girls. Even young girls, they are trying to hide and find where are our clothes, we should hide, cover our bodies. The Kubera sons, yeah, they were called Dhanandha. They had become Andha, blind, because of the wealth. Dhanandha. Dhanandha. It's also Krodhandha, Mada Andha. Mada means madness, Krodh means anger. When someone becomes angry, he becomes blind and he can't think straight. So all these things make you, likewise, education also makes you blind. Jnanandha, we could call them. Jnanandha. They become blind because of the knowledge, kind of knowledge which is getting cultivated makes them ignorant. Ignoring. Ignoring what? What do they ignore?
Knowledge.
They ignore knowledge.
Real knowledge.
Real knowledge. Raja vidya raja guhyam pavitram idam uttamam. They ignore Supreme Personality of Godhead. They ignore knowledge of Gita and Bhagavatam. They ignore their souls. That's why they ignore it, right? They ignore the reality, the spirituality, the eternality. They ignore all this, and as a result they become ignorant, they become pillars of the soul, and so that is what the present day educational system is. So although at the entrance you'll see big signboard saying Vidyalaya, such and such Vidyalaya. You go all over India, every other school Vidyalaya, this Vidyalaya, that Vidyalaya, that Vidyalaya. This is a board of knowledge, a board of but in fact avidya, ignorance, is cultivated. The matter is only thing that is taught, matter, dead matter, and people are becoming, so what one should be doing is to take a pen and brush, go around wherever this says Vidyalaya, what should be added there?
Avidya.
Avidya. Whatever says Vidyalaya, you go with a pen and brush, Avidyalaya, another Avidyalaya, another Avidyalaya. Place of ignorance, abode of ignorance. So people are being, is there a slide like that? I don't know where it is. Maybe it's today.
You trying to look for it?
Uh-huh. You came across that? Good one?
Yeah.
Right, but now, I was born intelligent. My education ruined me. There's a t-shirt in the back. In the back of somebody's t-shirt. He just had his PhD.
He's got his degree in the beer,
cigarette.
Yeah, he studied all the worms. Wormology? You study all different worms and you become PhD, specialized in this worm. All life long, you study one worm, and you get a PhD. PhD in this worm, or you study the life of mosquito or something, and you could come up with any damn new. And it's new. You just add body of knowledge. You just add on, uncover.
Yeah. pretty friend of mine. His mother had a friend, a guy who was teaching in Oxford, you know, the most respectable university in the world. And he had connections. He was teaching mathematics in Oxford, so he would get him in Oxford for free without tests anything. So he came to see him, and the guy was telling him, "Yeah, you can, you know, first year you'll do this, and then second year you're in." And while they were talking in his office, he poured several glasses of whiskey. Then they went to cantina to have lunch together. It was 12 o'clock. Guy was so drunk that when they were eating, food was falling out of his mouth on the table and on his clothes, and he was not even aware of it.
Oxford.
The best.
I was just moving books up the street in the front of the university in Vienna, and the guy came out and approached him, and he told me he's a professor here or something, and he just told me a very perverted joke about sex with sex, really gross and deep. And he made me go, oh my god, you know. He was a professor there. He was the most
incredible. Yeah, highly educated, but culture, no culture. So call him highly educated. He is offering his patram pushpam phalam toya. Computer has become worshipable in India. Also, everyone is into computer education. So there are karmis and gyanis and yogis. Prabhupada is writing in the purport. 99% of the people are engaged in activities of sense gratification under the flags of industrialism, economic development, altruism, political activism, and so on. All these activities are, or more or less, based on satisfaction of senses, to the exclusion of the kind of God consciousness described in the first mantra. The people have been made into ass is a symbol of stupidity. End of 64 page. End of 67. Those simply engaged in profitless pursuits of sense gratification are worshipping avidya according to Sri Shobhanishad. And those who play the role of helping this sort of civilization is same in the name of education, no, advancement, are equally doing more harm than those who are on the platform of gross sense gratification. The advancement of learning by godless people is a dangerous, as dangerous as valuable jewel from the hood of a cobra. So there are ignorant people and educated people, and they are both bad. Ignorant people are bad, they are into sense gratification. And people become a bit knowledgeable, so-called vidya, which is also ignorance, and then they get into more. They go away from real culture and knowledge and civilization. And 65, page, last paragraph. In Bhagavad Gita, mistaken mundane educators are known as Vedavadrata or Maya Aparita Jnana. The Jnana is stolen. Jnana is stolen by Maya. Real Jnana. The Jnana that makes you surrender to Krishna. Jnanavan, what does Jnanavan do? Jnanavan maam prapadyate. The test of knowledge, is it real jnana? We want to see whether it's real jnana or not. how would you find out whether it's real Gyan or... If it is real Gyan, he is Gyanvan, full of knowledge. He was surrendered to Krishna. And then there are two other parties also. There's another Gyani, Gyani Yogi, Gyani, what would he do? Would he surrender to Krishna?
No.
Yeah, he will merge into Brahman. Andhena tamasa abhata. Andham tamaha pravishanti. They both will enter the darkness. And I think there are three kinds of, when we talk of Gyan, we could, broadly speaking, one Gyan is the Gyan, the knowledge that students and are acquiring these days in the schools. That's called one kind of Gyan, one kind of Vidya, one kind of knowledge. That's one, okay? The other one is the Mayavadi, Advaitavadi, today's Advaitacharyas. Impersonalist, his Gyan. Gyan Yoga is there in Bhagavad Gita. And the third one is the Gyanaman Mam Prapadyate. That is devotee's Gyan, devotee's knowledge, devotee's Vidya. So of the three, the first one is, it is just pure ignorance. Although it's a so-called Gyan, school, college, education, university, they go to Vidyalaya for their learning, but it's all for sense gratification on the mundane side. And then the middle one is Mayavadi's Brahman, the knowledge of Brahman only. So they do not surrender. The first party doesn't surrender. The middle party doesn't surrender. And then the devotee party, Vaishnava party, is the only party that surrenders unto Krishna, because they realize Vasudeva Sarvamiti Samahatma Sudurlava. Such a Mahatma, such a soul, such a person is very rare. One who understands Krishna is all in all, Vasudeva is all in all. So this verse is clarifying. This what this verse is clarifying is also, Vedas have three divisions, we mentioned one day. What are those? What are different sections? These are prasthan, those are three kinds. Whole Vedic knowledge is divided into three parts, that's what you are talking. Shruti prasthan, then Nyaya prasthan, that is Vedanta Sutras, Nyaya prasthan, and then the other one is Smriti prasthan. So Shruti prasthan includes the Vedas, Upavedas, and Vedangas. So now my question is, these Vedas have three sections. Forget the other three sections. Shruti Prasthan, Nyaya Prasthan, and Smriti Prasthan. The question is, the Vedas have three sections. What are those? The three categories or kinds of knowledge they portray or they convey. What are those three divisions? Karma, Jnana, and Upasana. Karma Khan, Jnana Khan, Upasana Khan, or Bhakti Khan. So, Ishopanishad is teaching us what? Upasana, Bhakti. So, this verse is refuting, criticizing. We're talking about it. You have to criticize something that is not right, you have to say something against, so that you stay out of it. Not glorify it, not just keep your mouth shut. Or not just be neutral. You have to be against. You have to be knowledgeable, you have to be against. Saying this is not right, this is wrong, this is incorrect. Swamiji, Swamiji, sometimes people would say, oh, you are right, I am right. But Prabhupada would, no, I am right, you are wrong. You are sometimes be not humble, or you know, you will be just outspoken and say, no, it's wrong. So this verse is talking of other two things which are wrong. Karma khand is wrong and jnana khand is wrong. Karma khand is bad and jnana khand is
worse.
That's the subject matter here. And both the parties, jnana khand party, upasana khand party, will pravishanti, they will enter andaha tamaha, andham tamaha, the gross ignorance. So, avidyamupasate, it says, avidyamupasate. Who will enter? A means those who upasate, worship, those who cultivate what? Avidyam, that refers to the karma khan, avidya. Karma is avidya, ignorance. So, those who avidyamupasate, they will enter the dark regions of ignorance. Tato bhuya. But worse than that, them are vidyayam rataha. Those who are absorbed in vidya. Absorbed, rataha. Those who are absorbed in vidya, cultivating vidya, that is jnana khand, they are even worse. This is being pointed out here. We have some other angle or presentations here. Okay, Baldev, Vidya Bhushan Ki. Criticism of karma and jnana when they are performed independent of each other. Or you perform activity without knowledge. Then you are in difficulty. Only doing karma, only doing jnana. What? Ninth verse. The criticism of karma and jnana. When they are independent of each other, perform independent of each other. Like we say, those who perform devotional service or they do activity in ISKCON, we say. But if you don't hear, you don't understand the philosophy behind this activity, purpose of your devotional service, then you will not carry on with your devotional service, not for very long. So if we call that as karma, because we do karma yoga, we do bhakti yoga, but if we call that as a karma activity, we do in ISKCON, we do activity. So that activity should be done with knowledge, equipped with the knowledge. Talking of the greatness of the activity, philosophy of activity, or goal of that activity. When you hear more and more, and then perform that activity, then you are in business. But if you just do activity, commander just gives you 24 hours things to do. You don't have time. Supposedly bhakta, no bhakta training, no bhakta special classes. You can't even go to Bhagavatam or even in Bhagavad Gita. How long would you last? Not for very long. So the karma and jnana, the activity and knowledge should be together. So if it is independent, separate, you do only jnana part, you may just become a mental speculator, a mental case, not act. You are acting, but there is no knowledge to support this. So it should go hand in hand. So that's one point. Worshipper of the deity other than Madhvacharya says, worshipper of the deities other than Vishnu go to blinding darkness. So worshippers those who worship demigods, not worship Vishnu, and they also go to the darkness. Now Karmakand, Jnanakand, we are saying this, Karmakand, Jnanakand. Karmakand includes yagyas. Swaha, swaha, swaha. That's Karmakand, lots of Karmakand. So yagyas are performed for, if you are a Vaishnava, yes. But if you are Karmakandi, if you are Karmakandi, then one of the, for fruitful purpose, then one of the demigods would be in the picture, pleasing him. So that is, that's Karmakand. The idea is to gratify the senses, gratification. I can't do it myself, so I want to have collaboration with this demigod. Right? One country wants to have collaboration with another country. Or one small businessman wants to have collaboration with Tatas and or Birlas or some Rockefeller or something. So a tiny living entity, he wants to enjoy, but he, you know, at some point he says, ah, I should take help from this god or that demigod. But the goal is gratification, sense gratification, karmis, enjoying the fruit of his own labor. So those karmis. So Madhvacharya is saying anyone who worships his worshipable deity is not Vishnu, non-Vishnu, other than Vishnu. He goes to the darkness regions. Andaha tamasa vrataha. Same conclusion as this verse, supporting this statement of this verse. Is that clear? He says, worshippers of the deities other than Vishnu go to blinding darkness. So the karmis are, or karmakandis are also demigod worshippers. So that party, karmakand party, demigod worship party, goes to the darkness. Yes. Lakshmi remains Lakshmi, so far it is in relationship with Narayan. As soon as you have some other idea, then Lakshmi is a dollar and not Lakshmi anymore. Lakshmi is paisa. Lakshmi is money, not Lakshmi anymore. Lakshmi status is in relationship with the Lord. He tried to exploit Lakshmi. Sita was Lakshmi, and so while she was in Lanka, Ravan was trying to exploit her. So he did not have that understanding. This is Ram's Lakshmi, Narayan's Lakshmi. That's the understanding. Then you are right, listen to. That's when he tried to separate Lakshmi from Narayan, and you are Narayan. The Lakshmi. And who is Narayan? Ishwaro Aham. Bhagavad Gita says the demoniac nature is I am Ishwar. I am the enjoyer. I am. Or people want kingdom of God without God. You heard that? Prabhupada said. People want kingdom of God without God. Why? You are God. I am God. All that I need is a kingdom. Then I am God. So Lakshmi is no more Lakshmi if you are thinking of exploiting Lakshmi. And the end result is same as what happened to Ravan. History repeats over again and again and again and again. People are killed. As Ravan was killed, people would be killed because they were trying to separate Lakshmi from Narayan. Kill him! Kill him! Hang him! Prabhupada is making that point. No one wants to die. No one wants to die, but you must die. Because the way you treated Lakshmi, the way what you did with the Lakshmi in whatever form, either money, cash in hand, or cash crop, from the field in hand or any kind of wealth, land or building. This is also part of Lakshmi. Lakshmi is not just the paper or money or coins. Wealth. And wealth, whose wealth is it? Bhoktaram Jagyatavasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. So those who do not know this or don't practice that, then they meet the death over again and again and again. Why people are dying? Why they have to be killed? What is their fault? Why they have to be killed again and again? Punarapi jananam, punarapi maranam, punarapi jananam, jathrei shayanam. It's going on. Janmurti jaravyadhi. Birth, death, old age, this is birth, death, old age, this is, the cycle is going on.
Offensive to God.
Yeah, the disobedient, offensive to God, exploiting God's Lakshmi, God's wealth, not recognizing his proprietor, not recognizing his...
He doesn't exist.
His, yes, kill him. First, kill God. What scientists want to do, others, many other parties want to do. If he is around, then he will make some scheme to punish you. So kill him first. And then you come to conclusion, it doesn't exist. And then you enjoy. You think you enjoy. But then you suffer. So you are killed. Every time you are killed. So many days, if you are a fly or a mosquito, so many months and you die, or so many years you die. So why are they dying? Because they are not treating this Lakshmi, this wealth, this Mother Earth, or the resources of nature in glorification of God. Well, such a nice flower. This could be nice for my girlfriend. One is thinking like this. Other parties say, oh, no, such a nice flower. Today is Advaita Acharya's appearance day. I'll make a nice garland for him. Same flower, two approaches. One is think this would be nice for my girlfriend. Other one says, it's nice in the hands of Radharani if I place this flower. He could give it to Krishna. The same world, same Lakshmi. So what do you do with that Lakshmi? Is important. What is your consciousness? What is your attitude? What is your goal? So this Ishopanishad is trying to give you the right vision, set you up. Sitosmi gata sandeha. Now I'm situated properly. Karishe vachanam tava. Now I'll act as per your instructions. Even Arjuna has some other ideas. Krishna wanted him to fight. Arjuna did not want to fight. He kept him other. So this going away from Lord, going away from Lord's direction, ignoring his vision, and only ending in trouble, ending up in deep, dark well. It is so deep that there is only darkness. It is so deep, that the sun rays don't even reach that depth. So is that okay? Criticizing false knowledge, they cross over sorrow and ignorance. Somewhere Madhvacharya's statement. Criticizing false knowledge, okay? If you criticize false knowledge, then they cross over sorrow, suffering and ignorance. So that's the process. So Prabhupada did not tolerate this impersonal calamity, and he was always on their case. And I'm the only one, one time Prabhupada, I'm the only one who is trying to expose these demigod worshippers and impersonalists. Everyone else wants to have a compromise. I'm okay, you are okay, Swamiji. I'm okay, you are okay. Let's have a dinner or something. So our acharyas, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, they were bold preachers, boldly preaching against And what are the two parts? Although there are so many isms and parties and philosophies, I mean, broadly speaking, there is this materialism, impersonalism. More or less, all different parties around the world, philosophies, could, and of course, Vaishnavism. Karma, Jnana, Yoga, Prabhupada is writing in the book. Karmis, Jnanis, and Bhakti Yogis. Of course, Yogis, when you say, it's not always Bhakti Yogis. There's a counterpart for everything in Vaishnava world. When we say karma, well, we do karma. That's bhakti karma or karma yoga, or genuine karma yoga for Krishna. So that's karma. It has both the real and unreal sides, spiritual and the shadow part. It has two parts. So karma, jnana, karma yogi, jnani yogi. Jnana is the jnana. We're just talking. This jnana, that jnana. Jnana in the school that they teach. The jnana yogis, Mayavadi's jnana is another type of jnana. And devotee has a jnana, which is part of his bhakti life. So karmi, jnani, yogi, these days yoga doesn't always mean bhakti yoga. Yogis are asanas, people are doing asanas, yoga asanas. Because there are some illness some time ago. It's very popular. There's one yogi in India now. He was in Nagpur some time back. But it's everywhere. Early morning, 40,000 people were gathering for his sessions, his yoga retreat. Early morning hours, in one part of Nagpur, traveling for all, like as if they're going to Mangal Arati or something. Early morning, they were yoga session. And for days, then this Swami Yogi goes to another place, and another place, another. And it's good. Something to do with dharma, some connection is there. But then some people think, I become yogi because I'm doing few asanas. This is my dharma, I'm doing yoga. They think, I have fulfilled all my obligation to God and dharma and religion because I'm performing shirshasana or I'm doing some kapalbhati or... That is just part of Ashtanga Yoga. Yoga has eight parts. Yoga has eight parts if you go by Kapil Muni's Ashtanga Yoga. Ashta Angas. So that is only halfway through. Asana and Yoga. Asana and Pranayam. Asana and Pranayam, just two parts. You don't do Yam Niyam, which are first two parts. Then Asana and Pranayam, that's what you do. There's a pratyahar, there's a dhyan, there's a dharana, and samadhi. Samadhi is a goal. So out of eight angas, they perform two of them, middle ones. And they think they have become yogis. And again, the purpose is because I have some tumor, I have some chronic disease, I have some asthma, I have this. Indigestion I have, so for indigestion, what is the yoga, which asana I should do? They have to take so for this illness, for that illness, for this. So this is not a yoga. Again, the technically yogi is one who meditation, dhana avasthita tadagatena manasa pashyanti yam yoginaha. The yogis, they used to see Paramatma in their hearts. So even that was just halfway through. Brahma, Paramatma and Bhagavan. So even these yogis are not reaching the final goal. Karmis, Jnanis, Yogis. So they have it takes different meanings. For bhakti yogi could be performing karma. He has his gyan, he has his yoga, bhakti yoga. So something halfway through, something incomplete, something distorted, something incomplete. Paramatma has inconceivable energies. Parasha Shaktir Vividhai Vasruyate. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is commenting on this verse. Paramatma has what? Paramatma means here, Supreme Personality of Godhead. We take in that spirit. Paramatma has what? Inconceivable energies. Parasha Shaktir Vividhai Vasruyate. Prabhupada quoted this hundreds of times. This verse has been quoted hundreds of times by Srila Prabhupada for your information. Because, what? Mayavadis, they don't believe in Shakti of the Lord or energies of the Lord. So they exist. God has no form. He's not energetic. As soon as you say form and Shakti, somebody's Shakti, right? Lord has Shakti, Lord has qualities, Lord has... So because they want to prove that he is not a person, so he has no form, no qualities, no activities, no energies, this is their false logic, false conclusion. Or indirect meaning they emphasize. Mukhya and Gaun. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was talking with Prakashananda Saraswati in Banaras. He was making this point. Some things are just obvious, there's no need for interpretation. But still you interpret. Prabhupada a few times said, oh, here's a watch. And I tell son, this is a watch. Well, is anything more to be said? The direct meaning, this is a watch. No interpretation is required. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also was listening to Sarvabhum Bhattacharya in Jagannath 3 for 7 days. And did he understand? Not from what you spoke. You're just screwing it up. Instead of throwing light, you are throwing some ignorance. Could you throw some light on this, we say? If something is not clear, then you make it clear. Bring some torch and show. Anupashyati, right? Or anupashyataha. Someone shows you something that's not clear, when some clarification is required. But instead of throwing some light, they throw darkness. They bring in darkness and something that was obvious. They discover even personality of God is covered by Mayavadis, cover the personality of Godhead. Yoga Maya Samavrita. So Brahman is there and they are happy with Brahman, which is coming from the personality of Godhead. Vividhai Vasruyate, Lord has varieties of energies. One energy is Maya and it has two functions. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is writing. One is avidya, another one is avidya. Yes. Lord has energy called Maya, this world of Maya. So whose energy is Maya? Mama Maya Durataya, it's my energy, my Maya. So this Maya has two functions. One is vidya function, other one is avidya function. And he says, vidya function, take note of this, I like this, the way Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Vidya function destroys matter. You get that? Vidya function of the Maya destroys matter. And avidya function of Maya creates matter. Avidya creates matter, Vidya destroys matter, or creates spirit. You could also say, Vidya creates spirit, destroys matter, destroys ignorance, in other words, destroys matter, destroys ignorance. Let's read on. He says something even more nicer points. Man engaged, you'll have to hear this with full attention. Man engaged in matter are situated in avidya. Okay? Man engaged in matter are situated in avidya. That is ignorance, avidya. Their spiritual nature is covered by the darkness of matter. Very nicely put, right? The darkness of the matter. Because man engaged in matter, dealing with the matter, trying to exploit the matter, they are covered by the darkness of the matter. The matter creates ignorance. Matter is associated, ignorance, matter are associated. So you associate with matter, matter all the time. What's the matter? What's the matter, Prabhu? What's the matter? Only matter. Matter is all that matters. So by dealing with the matters, and the matter is reciprocating with them by putting cover of darkness around them. They become blind by this matter. A matter sometimes may be glittering, but all that glitters is
gold.
Not gold. All that glitters is not gold. So this matter may be glittering. You go to New York, you go to London, and it glitters, right? But all that glitters is not gold. So the moth is attracted by the glitter. The moth, creature, little moth, is attracted by the glitter of the fire. And is swaha. goes in, never comes out. Only one-way traffic. So this is what happens. You're so possessed, enamored by this matter, you want to grab them, to exploit, enjoy, and that matters engulfs them, just gobbles them up. They're just sucked in, and they're covered by darkness. And there's more. Those who become detached from matter, okay? So this party was Karmi party. Now, other party, now talk would be about Jnanis. Those who become detached from matter, though able to destroy matter with vidya function, do not receive the shelter of Lord's spiritual shakti unless they perform bhakti. So this part is Jnani party. So they have become liberated. They are free from matter, out of matter. They have destroyed matter, okay? They have destroyed matter with their vidya. Vidya destroys matter. So using vidya, equipped in vidya, so they have gotten rid of matter. So they are Brahma Satya Jagat Mithya. The world is false, world is false, world is false. They are broadcasting, going around, proclaiming this. So people are kind of coming out of this dream. Oh, this world is just a dream, this illusory thing, which is a false propaganda, of course. Mayavadi propaganda. So people come out. So although they destroy matter, they do not receive the shelter of Lord's spiritual shakti unless they perform bhakti. So they remain hanging in the middle. So they are away from matter, but not reach the shores of the kingdom of God, or the variety and form. So they, what's that called, two boats? Sometimes one person went from one boat to another boat. But they are, the Mayavadis are neither in this boat nor that boat. They are not material boat, material kingdom. They are not in the spiritual kingdom. They do not even believe in kingdom of the spiritual kingdom. Believe, no. The heaven party is a karmi party. The karmi party, those who perform yagyas, swaha, and benedictions and wealth and give me this, give me that. And so that's a karmi party. Yeah, even Christians talk about heaven of God, heaven. Bible talks of heaven. The meek shall reach or something. That's what it says. The meek will inherit the kingdom. The meek and humble will inherit the kingdom of God or the heaven where. So there's some, implies something, but very little information. And more, this is a real point now coming up. Without relationship with Paramatma, you cannot be liberated from the matter. There's no full liberation from the matter unless you have made connection with Paramatma. Attracted to something without qualities, this creates greater obstacle for the jiva. They are attracted to Brahman, but there are no qualities. There's nothing, something that you could hang on to or this, stick to. It is just Brahman, just a light. There's no real shelter. Like being in a cloud, right? There's no wall, there's no handle, there's no nothing that you can. If you're falling from above, and oh, here are the clouds. Finally, you thought, I'll now take shelter here. Yeah, don't want to suffer. No one wants to suffer. But who knows how to enjoy? Only Vaishnavas know how to enjoy. So that art of enjoyment is being taught here in Ishopanishad or in Krishna consciousness. Right, in a cloud, can you hang on to grab something and there's nothing.
No one also.
No one and nothing. Is that a fun? People feel boring. Lonely. Being lonely, this is a big difficulty in India. Amongst the youths of India, articles have been written, people, youngsters are feeling lonely. No one caring, loving, or this, that, you know. Oh, everything is artificial, you don't even know your neighbor, or his your office, and hard work, and a few friends here or there, but from Bengal you go to Bangalore and you feel lonely, you feel miss your near ones, dear ones, and so that's the nature. The soul is always hankering for some shelter, some relationship, some activity, some association. Social animal, what is that? Human what?
Social animal.
So how could this social animal be taken out of the society and merge into Brahman and then expect that he would be happy? Kaivalyam narakayate. There are statements like that. Kaivalyam is liberation, state of liberation, as another term in Shastra called Kaivalya Mukti. You heard of this? One mukti is called Kaivalya. This impersonal Brahman. Merging into impersonal Brahman is called Kaivalya Mukti. So, It is described as Kaivalyam Naraka. It is worse than hell. It's worse than hell. Hellish situation is Naraka, Kaivalyam, Kaivalya Mukti. You like to go? You like to have Mukti? Kaivalya Mukti? How many of you like to have Kaivalya Mukti? Impersonal liberation, all in favor? There's no cooking, so no prashad.
In chapter 8, Prabhupada said, in personal liberation, only a myth.
It's only a myth.
Only a myth.
But there's a lot of talk about it. And when you talk and talk, it sounds like a reality. When you say something 100 times in this age of Kali, it goes as passes as some reality or truth. So much has been spoken about this. So much more will have to be to counteract this myth. If they have spoken 100 times, we'll have to speak for 101 times. And then we overpower. So there's a rivalry between these two parties. Now Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's party. And what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu do? I mean, so many encounters with Mayavadis here and there, and of course he would not even get so much into arguments. He would just chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So he went to Banaras and he had his kirtans going on. But then he was being criticized. And one Maharashtrian Brahmin was very unhappy that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was being criticized left and right by these Mayavadis, these Vedantists. He wanted to put full stop to this. Then he arranged the meeting between Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Prakashanand Saraswati with 60,000 followers he had. And they were thinking, oh, we are so fortunate. Kopi navanta khalu bhagyavanta Vedanta Vakyeshu Sadara Mantaha. Vedanta Vakya, the statements of Vedanta. This is what we study and we observe in this. And all that we do is we wear kopin. We don't have many requirements. We just wear kopin. And we study Vedanta. How fortunate we are. No one is equal to us. How fortunate we are. So this was their stand. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu goes. He was invited. And as soon as he entered the arena where they have this Dharma Sabha, the gathering of this Prakashanand and his followers, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived and just sat. Where their shoes are washing hands, and there was no asana, nothing. And when Prakashanand saw that, that humility defeated half of the and then more discussions and debates and learned. So, you are surprised. Not only does Hare Krishna chant and dance, but they also know philosophy. A lot of people think in India also, but there's only chant and dance, they don't. Sentimental. And it's just a brand new sannyasi, you know, just took sannyas a few years ago. So they were expecting that, you know, come, we'll teach you some lessons. Take some lessons from us. We are matured, we are seasoned sannyasis, and you are new. And you come, you are in the same line. Who gave you sannyas? That Keshav Bharati is from our line. Look, your dand is also ignorant. So we thought you would come and join our school, become Vedantist and propagate this. But well, and there are Mayavadis who also think, Adhyas Saram Bhattachari, he joined this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He also became mad after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But that is Sarvabhauma, but not us. No, we can't be defeated. She found some customers in Jagannathpuri, but not in Varanasi. This is Varanasi, this is the fort. But then, in one sitting, he smashed everything. So it's a history. 500 years ago, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeated all impersonalism. We don't have to, we just have to repeat same thing what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said and did. There's no such talk as Vaishnavism being defeated. Cannot be defeated. Demigod worshippers defeated, this party defeated, that party defeated, the impersonalism defeated. But Vaishnav defeated, have you ever heard? In the history of creation, Vaishnava was defeated. So that is the position of Vaishnavism or Krishna consciousness. And that is being established by this Ishopanishad here. Ishopanishad is part of Yajurveda, and it is criticizing or defeating what has been compiled in other parts of Vedas. Now that jnana kand, oh that karma kand, don't follow, you will enter pravishyanti andaha tama. Yeah, so there was a, did we read that part? Without relationship with Paramatma, this is the last statement, without relationship with Paramatma, we cannot be liberated from matter. Attracted to something without qualities, this creates greater obstacle for the jiva. And patanti adaha anajita yushmad angrayaha. This is another statement from Bhagavatam. Mayavadis, they disrespect the lotus feet of the Lord. Anajita. They have no other, they have no respect for the lotus feet, or lotus hand, or lotus mouth, or lotus face, or lotus navel. Because they don't believe in these forms. So because they are disrespectful, so they patanti adaha, they fall down. They fall down. They think they are liberated, that verse says. They think vimukta maninaha and avishuddha buddhaya. Impure intelligence they have, and they think they are liberated, and as a result, and they do not worship the lotus feet of the Lord. They don't cling. Ai nanda tanuja kim karam patitam vishame bhavam budho. Then, kripaya tava pada pankaja sita dhuli shudrasham vichinte. O Lord, make me dust particle of your lotus feet. That's the prayer of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers. Please give me shelter at your feet. O Lord, make me dust particle. You don't even have to make me what? Or runjun, what is that? Bells. Ankle bells. You don't have to make you and me ankle bell. It's a dust particle. You don't have to make me crown or a garland in your, or this or that. Just make dust. This part. Insignificant. Whatever. In relationship with you, that's fine. I would be more than happy. Please accept me. And so we go on to next verse or any, some discussion points are, we're coming up. We have a,
if
there is no Brahman, spiritual energy. Yes. So he was quoting the Dhyani to perform bhakti. So if they want to merge into Brahman, they have to perform bhakti. Yeah, everybody has to. What is that? Bhakti yoga, you know? Akama sarvakama moksha kama udaradi tivraina bhakti yogena. Yeah, this is for everybody. You should worship Purusham Param whether you are akam or sarvakam or mokshakam, you have no desire, or you are full of desires, or you have desire for liberation, all the parties are recommended. You go for worship of Supreme Personality of Godhead.
But we cannot succeed without doing bhakti. One cannot succeed too much.
No, if they did bhakti, they will just go all the way to Bhagavan. Yeah. They cultivate... they think that the Brahman is all in all. Or even Bhagavan, who has a form, when he appears, he just takes human-like form. Even that form is Maya. Even form of the Lord is Maya. And his Leela, Rasa Leela, is also Maya. It's all illusion. It's not a reality, it's not a substantial, it's not eternal thing. So Brahman, Sarvam Brahma Khalu, right? Sarvam Idam Khalu Brahma. This is a very famous statement of the Mayavadis. Sarvam Idam Khalu Brahma. Everything is Brahman. Nothing but Brahman. And so Paramatma feature, Bhagavan feature, they disrespect, this is what we were just talking. They disrespect or don't accept Paramatma, Bhagavan. So they end up merging in Brahman. Is that?
One devotee in class the other day, he was in class, he was mentioning that actually, yes, Brahman is a spiritual energy, but the mentality of the impersonation is materialistic because they still have a conception that I am God. So having this conception makes, you know, their mentality materialistic. Even though they've attained the mind, but still it's considered a materialistic mentality. Is it
or avidya. There is avidya talked here. I mean, there's a Brahman exists, and you also exist. But he, and Brahman is Bhagavan Paramatma Brahman. That's one category. That's related with the Lord. There's Lord, there's localized Paramatma, all pervading Brahman. These three together is Lord. And Jiva is there, living entity. This is part and parcel of the Lord. And that Lord has all this external energy in the form of this matter, material world. External energy. And we are just tatastha. So Lord exists, Paramatma exists, Brahman also exists eternally. There's a spiritual sky, there's all variegatedness there, activities there, forms there. And this world is but the shadow, reflection of that reality. Urdhva Moola Madha Shakha, Krishna in 15th chapter talks. This world is just a perverted reflection. Like you see in the lake, you see the trees, reflection. But you see the branches going down, the root is up. Because the real tree is there, that's why reflection is there in the water. If there's no tree on the banks of the river or lake, then shadow also doesn't exist. So this is shadow part. Shadow doesn't mean unreal. This shadow is also real because Lord's shadow, Lord's energy, material energy. So this exists, that Lord and Lord's spiritual kingdom exists. We are eternal. Mamai Vamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. Living entity is also eternal. And so we are, so they call Aham Brahmasmi. I am Brahman. Aham Brahmasmi. So because the living entity is part of Parabrahma, so living entity also could be called Brahma. Okay, I am Brahmasmi, but I am not Parabrahmasmi. I am Brahma, okay. Living entity is Brahma. But there's a difference between Brahma and Parabrahma. Param Brahma, Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan. Lord, you are Parabrahma, you are Param Dhamma, Pavitram, Paramam Bhavan. So there's a clear distinction between the living entity and Brahma exists, Paramatma exists, Bhagavan exists. This Maya, Trigunamayi Maya, world made up of three modes of material nature exists, the spiritual kingdom exists, and all these things. Variety exists. There's variety here because variety is up there in the spiritual kingdom. Okay, I think what we said will be beneficial for the following verses. Where is the watch?
You were giving me, I should
have. Okay, that's fine. So, 10 and 11, they're similar. In fact, 9, 10, 11 verses are, nature is very similar. The topics are similar. Vidya, avidya is a topic. So, let's say it together, verse 10. Anya diva hura vidyaya. Translation.
The wise have explained that one result is derived from the culture of knowledge, and that a different result is obtained from that culture of nature.
And we have heard this from sober persons. That is not appearing in the translation. Did you see that? This is a translation of first two lines. Line 3 and 4. Why is it there? Yeah, the wise have explained. Okay. Yeah, it is there. Instead of coming at the end, it has come at the beginning. It has been explained. Iti Shushruma. We have heard. Or I have heard. Who is this person I have heard saying? Remember the name? Okay. The revealer of this Upanishad, that Rishi. You had noted this down days ago. It was on the board also. So, I have heard this. Iti Shushruma Dhiranam Enastad Vichachakshire. They have explained this. We have heard this from dhiras, sober persons, seasoned, undisturbed. They are never disturbed. Dhira means undisturbed. kada established in knowledge. Dhira satrana muhyati. Kaumaram yavvanam jara. Dhira satrana muhyati. Even at the time of death, we just change our body only. The dhiras are not disturbed by such a change. So those dhiras, those kind of dhiras, sober persons have explained. We have heard this from them. What have we heard? Anyad evahur vidyaya, anyad ahur avidyaya. There's one kind of result from the culture of knowledge, and a different result is obtained from culture of nations. So we have been talking. This is kind of summarized what was said before. The previous verse said that those who andahatama pravishanti ye upasate avidya upasate, some worship avidya and then vidyayam, some are absorbed in cultivation of vidya. So the karma and jnana is again being talked about. So one result of karma, the other result of, there is yet another kind of result of jnana.
Result,
they
mean action?
He
means action by result?
Yeah.
Acting in a way of...
No, you act. Both parties are acting, but then result, the aim, the destination, where they go, what they achieve, ultimately, the different result. Two different kinds of results.
Maharaj, in the last... in the paragraph before the last one, Srila Prabhupada's mentioned that the perfect disciple must be like Arjuna, and the spiritual master must be as good as the Lord himself. Can you please explain a little bit about this?
Well, spiritual master like Krishna. Sakshad haritvena samasta shastra. Sakshad hari is representative of God. Krishna says, surrender unto me. Spiritual master says, surrender unto Krishna. Has spiritual master said anything? Not added, not subtracted anything. So, that's also speaking on behalf of God, empowered by God, is qualified. A spokesperson of God speaks, not only eats on behalf of God, laddus on behalf of God, but same mouth is also glorifying God, right? Serving God. So that is as good as God. Whether God spoke or Guru spoke, same thing, they are speaking. So that's that part. And as good as Arjuna. So, Shishyasteyam Shadhimam. Now I am soul surrendered unto you. Please instruct me. Now I am bewildered. Please, you say something in conclusively. Whether to battle, whether not to battle. I'm just lost. I'm confused. You just take charge of my life, O Lord, O my Master, O Krishna. You tell me what to do. Now, I'm your Shishya. So that's Arjuna's stand, his mood. So anyone who takes on that mood, then he's good, as good as Arjuna.
Not
anything.
Does it matter what level the spiritual master is
asked
to actually consider him to be as good as God?
Yeah, well, levels. Uttamadhikari level.
So the other level you can't consider them as good.
They are getting there. They're on the way. Madhyamadhikari maybe there could be quite close. One of these days he could be there, or maybe half of the time he's already there. Yeah, he's on the way.
So there's a distinction we make between the different levels.
So far they don't get stuck. Like whole karma yoga, jnana yoga, ashtanga yoga, then bhakti yoga. This whole yoga could be, from beginning to end, could be called bhakti yoga. Only if you get stuck and you don't make further progress, then is a jnana yogi. There's a karma yogi, ashtanga yogi. But if he just, his goal is bhakti yoga and he's just marching on, climbing the ladder, after ladder he's going higher, then even that karma yogi is bhakti yogi, and jnana yogi is bhakti yogi. So Prabhupada addressed his followers, his disciples as pure devotees. They were a few years in the movement and he was talking, they were dancing in ecstasy. They're dancing in ecstasy. Ecstasy is that realm is of accessible to Uttam Adhikaris. So any discussion points? Mantra 10. Prabhupada has given 18 points. 18 items combined to form a gradual process. After 18 points, Prabhupada writes, by which real knowledge can be developed. And all other methods are considered to be in the category of nations. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, a great acharya, maintained that all forms of material knowledge are merely external features of illusory energy, and that by culturing them one becomes no better than an ass. This same principle is found here in Sri Ishopanishad. By advancement of material knowledge, modern man is simply being converted into an ass. Some materialistic politicians in spiritual guise decry the present system of civilization as satanic, but unfortunately they do not care about culture of real knowledge as it is described in Bhagavad Gita. The modern society, and Prabhupada is talking about dhira on the next page. And dhira is one who is not disturbed by material illusion. No one can undisturb unless he is perfectly spiritually realized. No one can be undisturbed unless he is spiritually realized. At which time one neither hankers nor laments for anything. Dhira realizes that material body and the mind has acquired no chance through material association, but foreign elements. Therefore, he simply makes the best use of the bad bargain. And then he goes on more about dhira. Whole next page is dhira and adhira. So from such dhiras, we have heard, it has been explained, that there are two results achieved by two different parties, Jnani party. On the cover of Back to Godhead, what do we read? Masthead of Back to Godhead? Does it begin like that?
Is light.
What is light? Yeah. And you can say darkness.
Where there is light, there is no darkness.
Okay. That's coming from here, from these chapters or mantras of Avishabdishan.
Agree.
Krishna Surya Sam, Maya Hai Andhaka. Jaha Krishna Taha Nai, Maya Radhika. From Chaitanya Charitamrita. Paramatma is different. What you are seeing also something? No. Paramatma is different from both knowledge and ignorance. Atma or Paramatma is a spiritual object separate from Vidya and Avidya. Paramatma is controller of Maya. You agree that? Paramatma is controller of Maya.
Yes.
Has this been stated somewhere? Why go to Bhagavad Gita? Why we are studying Ishopanishad here? Does it say anywhere in Ishopanishad that Paramatma is controller of Maya?
He is complete, that Maya is in him. Everything that emanating from
him. Now you remember. Now you are able to apply. Ishavasha. He is residing everywhere, he dwells everywhere. This is how he controls being there, being right there, he controls. Owner is like whatever you own, you stay there and you control that, right? So Lord is residing everywhere and he's controlling. He's residing in every atom. He's proving that he owns it. I own this atom. How do you prove that? If you want to prove your ownership, what do you have to do?
Control.
Control. How, what else you do?
Reside
there. You stay there. Stay there. At least you have your lock. At least you have your lock and your keys in your pocket.
Government is army. The army.
Okay, so there's American army or
Israeli
army. So they make immediately make the claim by possession is what? Nine tenths of. Just being there, you prove. So Lord is proving. He's Andantarasa, Paramanu Chayantarasa, he's in the universe, middle of the universe. In every atom, and he's a proprietor, he's a controller, he's an enjoyer. What is that? Beep? What?
It's beeping.
You did something yesterday, you stopped.
No, it's connected to the erection thing. Okay. It was a power cut. Maybe we don't need
Lord also says,
I'm
not there
also.
I'm everything and I'm also out of it.
He's detached.
He's detached.
Different
question.
The air and sound,
this movie
is also atoms?
Yeah, sure. The difference is that the when so many atoms come together, then there's a molecule in the chemistry they talk. Two parts of hydrogen, one part of oxygen. You heard of this?
Yeah,
H2O.
Yeah.
And then one molecule of water, H2O. And then another molecule. The matter becomes a matter. And then there's a molecular space. One molecule, another molecule, there's some space, then it becomes hollow or lighter. So if the molecules are compact, leaving no molecular space, then that makes a solid object, or that's earth. As soon as you go to the water, the molecular space is more. You go to fire, Someone is saying?
Gas.
Frozen water.
You can get water and ice.
Okay.
Stages of
Water. So that water molecule, talking about a water molecule. So same thing with, so you go from earth to water to fire to ether to air. The molecules are there, but one molecule here, one molecule there, at greater distance. But the molecules are everywhere.
The smell is at
once. Yeah, the water, you feel air. Air, you feel presence of air by feel, feeling, touch. Yeah. The presence of ether you feel by sound. When you hear something, sound is there. So like that. So everywhere, Lord is there. In between, He's there also. There's something there. Lord is everywhere. So He's controller. So that's the... Paramatma is controller of Maya. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur is writing that the size of the living entity is very tiny. What is the size of living entity?
1/100 particles, tip of the hair.
Not 100. 10,000. Take a tip of the hair, make 100 parts, and then take one part, and then again divide that into 100 parts. 100 divided by 100, that's 10,000. And take one part. And that's your size. Any reason to be proud?
I think so.
With the ego, we fill up the universe. Huh? Yeah, get out of my way, get out of. Get out of the way.
But George Bush just said yesterday that I am the President of the United States of America, mister.
No small post.
Where is the debate? Where is the debate?
No, this is one of the Upanishad, the Quran. Does he give Bhaktivinoda Thakur's commentary on this verse? He is quoting this verse. Bala Grasya Shatabhagasya. Quoted in Bhagavad Gita. I can tell you. You'll find in Sloka book. You look for this.
I was interested in how did he get to it? I mean, with which tool or
where is this quoted? In which
verse? I don't remember that. It's an Upanishadic. But we can. Source is known, I don't just remember right now. Jiva, because Jiva is not powerful, he ends up controlled. He ends up being controlled by Maya. That much you agree? Because it is small, Maya is powerful, so it's controlled by. Falling under Maya's control, he begins to lament. Falling under Maya's control, he laments. Covered by avidya, he experiences suffering in the darkness of matter. Is it making sense? Covered by avidya, which is matter, he experiences suffering in the darkness of matter. We were talking earlier how matter creates ignorance. You deal with matter, and the matter spreads ignorance. And so you suffer. When he takes shelter of vidya to get relief from suffering, because the matter was harassing him, matter was kicking him around, tossing him around, from body to body, this situation, that situation, birth, death, old age, disease, and all kinds of topsies and turvies. And so that was how matter was dealing with him. So then the suffering jiva, the tiny jiva, controlled by matter, maya, like that, is wanting to get out of this, and then he takes shelter of vidya, but this is impersonal knowledge. He's taking shelter of vidya to get relief from suffering. He falls into greater suffering by contemplating the impersonal God without qualities.
But isn't it better?
No, it is worse. According to the previous verse, that situation is worse than this one. More suffering.
So in this in suffering, but we can still get out. But in once he gets into this Brahmajyoti thing, he cannot get out. Right?
The real fallen, yeah, is really entangled, gone deeper. As we, Bhaktivinoda Thakur just explaining how these two phases, phase one, you're harassed by, controlled by Maya, matter, and troubles. For relief, he's seeking help. Maybe this Vidya part, this Brahman will give him some relief, so he goes taking shelter, attracted by the glare and the effulgence, and but then so there's one kind of result which was suffering, already suffering, and he thought this was would give him relief, but then he got into more trouble.
Why is Lord Param Brahma?
Why Lord is Param Brahma?
Yeah.
The Supreme Brahman. Brahman is enough, but Brahman could refer to Brahma aspect, Brahma Paramatma Bhagavan. But Para Brahma is a personality of Godhead, superior aspect. Yeah, there was one question that side.
Yes, Maharaj, it appears there's a contradiction because in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna explains that the impersonal path is actually on the way. But here it's saying that they're going totally in the wrong direction. It's actually even worse. So how do we reconcile
that? Doesn't Bhagavad Gita say that troublesome?
Klesham,
avyaktam, unmanifested, impersonal.
The Prabhupada says in the purport that they're on the way, but it's troublesome. It's an indirect process.
Yeah, because they think it's good.
Only good fortune is if you meet a devotee. Whether you are a karmi or a jnani or a yogi, the turning point could be from the point that you meet a Vaishnava who worships Vishnu. Otherwise, like we were saying, you don't stop karma, jnana, keep going, evolving, moving forward, going higher. Then, but here, of course, if you are, once you are impersonalist, and you may become only more staunch impersonalist. But then, in fact, in few days, the verse will come up, and there's a prayer that says, "Oh Lord, please remove this glaring effulgence." So he's engulfed in this, the brilliance of this, the dazzling effulgence of the Lord, and which is almost making him a blind. Too much light is also no good, right? You need light to see, but if the light is right in your face, or floodlight, you don't see. Sometimes you're on the stage and there's so much light coming into your eyes, you don't see anything.
Yeah, you don't see you sitting.
So the effulgence of Brahman, and you're trying to tiny living entity is trying to face that, see that kind of more brilliant than millions of moons or trillions of suns. So you stop seeing. So the prayer is coming up that, so that person wants to keep going. He has come to Brahma Paramatma Bhagavan. So, but he wants to keep moving forward. Oh, where is Paramatma? Where is Paramatma? Paramatma. Lord, please, help. So if that's the case, then you are doing okay. You are moving higher. You're making progress.
And when you reach the problem in the station, but are they still in Maya?
It's a big Maya.
Illusion.
It's a big Maya. Last layer of Maya is what? Think of Mayavadi.
So it's still material, but they are concept,
you are disconnected, then the matter disconnected yourself from the spiritual part of Brahman.
Spiritual
illusion. Or suicide. Let's put it that way. Committing suicide. Spiritual, this Brahman realization of Brahman and merging into Brahman is committing suicide. Means you are ending your individuality. One committing suicide is hang yourself up. That's So you finish the body, okay? So that's finish the body. Now you are, you want to finish up your soul also. Hmm? Soul is a person. Body is a person. You got rid of body. Okay. One kind of suicide has taken place. Now the soul, soul you also, soul is individual. Soul is a person. And Mayavadi wants to kill the soul. Hmm? It's a spiritual suicide. Doesn't want to, like the one who is committing suicide is fed up, no relationship, no this world, and they just want to get out of there. And he thinks that this is end of everything. I'm done with this. So my bodies are fed up. So they are getting out. And the easy thing is just go from this world to another world. I'm not happy with this kind of form. Okay, what kind of form you like? So take the form. I don't like this kind of people. What kind of people? Okay, another better spiritual people. I don't like this kind of food. Another kind of food is there. The two sets are there. Two sets of the same thing. One is material, one is spiritual. So being a spirit soul, soul cannot be happy with the matter. Fine, you replace that with the spiritual form, spiritual test, spiritual everything, spiritual relationship, everything is there. Dhyayato vishyan pumsa sangasteshu pajayate. Those who contemplate on the objects of senses, what happens?
Attachment.
They develop attachment. So you contemplate on spiritual forms, what will happen?
Attachment.
You develop attachment to spiritual forms. Sangasteshu pajayate is a law. There is sangha sanjayate kama. You associate with the material forms, and then that attachment results in the kama, some desire to enjoy. Here also you will have desire to enjoy. You can enjoy the spiritual forms. Krishna's form, devotee's forms, you enjoy. There's rasa between devotee and the Krishna. So that rasa you enjoy. And then kamat krodho vijayate. There's so much that lust. Then you are becoming angry. But if you are full of prem, kamat krodho vijayate, it could be there. Premat krodho vijayate. You have so much love and affection for devotee and Vishnu and Vaishnavas. If you offend anybody, you get angry. And then krodha bhavati sammoha buddhi nasha. Then you lose your intelligence. But if you serve Krishna and Krishna's devotees, what happens? You give intelligence first. There you lose intelligence. Here you get dadami buddhi yogam. And buddhi nasha pranashati. You lose intelligence, you are doomed, and you get lots of intelligence, and you go back to enama upayantide. So you can see those two verses from the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. As soon as you change, dhyayato vishyan pumsam. Just change the objects. Replace the material objects with the spiritual objects. Spiritual objects exist. Spiritual forms exist. Krishna, all that. So contemplate, you worship, you get attached to them. You develop prema for them. And then anyone offending, you get angry also for Krishna. And then you get intelligence. You don't lose intelligence. You gain intelligence and you go to Krishna. So, just by changing the object, and then everything do its job. We didn't finish this. Yeah, we did. So we have one more verse, and we have no more time. We do this quickly because this belongs to same category of same subject matter. Quickly. Vidyam cha vidyam cha yas
sadve
ayam saha avidyaya murtha
vidyam vidyavasyute.
Translation.
Only one who can learn the process of nescience and that of transcendental knowledge side by side can transcend the influence of repeated birth and death, and enjoy the full blessings of immortality.
Mm-hmm. So similar subject, and the results. The previous verse said different results, so you see some different results here. Hmm? Result of vidya would be different from result of avidya. Anyad ahur avidya, anyad ahur avidya. So here we are seeing different results. Avidya murtyum tirtva vidya amritam asnute. By avidya you transcend mrityu, transcend death. And by vidyaya amritam asnute, deathlessness. Sounds similar. Blessings of immortality. Since the creation of the world, everyone has been trying to attain permanent life, but the laws of nature are so cruel that no one can be able to provide the hand of death. No one wants to die, nor does anyone want to become old or diseased. From Puranas we learn the activities of Hiranyakashipu, a king, was very much advanced materially, wanting to conquer cruel death. Did he conquer?
No.
So should anyone again try that? I mean, he did not become successful. He did so much so that he doesn't have to die, but he ended up with death. So a big lesson could be learned from that.
One could say that enjoy the full blessings of immortality could mean liberation. It doesn't say, you know, relationship or love of God.
Not yet. Yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. But real deathlessness is what? You could also say you go to spiritual sky, and then what? Then you attain this state, deathlessness state, to share with the Lord. And there's no more birth, no more death. So that is deathlessness. As we're talking, there's gyan, the gyan of the materialistic, they have knowledge, and impersonalists have their knowledge, and devotees have their knowledge. So deathlessness, immortality. By mukti you become liberated. And by bhakti you become liberated plus more. So bhakti includes mukti. But mukti is devoid of bhakti. So it's incomplete. So when you are Vishnu Bhakta, you will think that way. This is the benefit of meeting a Vishnu Bhakta, Krishna Bhakta. Then you will always talk of... this is his talk. He talks always. Krishna in the picture. He doesn't settle with anything less than Krishna in his form, his and his qualities. Sri Radhika Madhava Yora Para Madhurya Lila Gunarupa Namnam Pratikshana Svadana Lolupasya Vande Guru Sri Charana Aravindam. The process by which one goes back to Godhead, 77th page, last paragraph. The process by which one goes back to God, it is a different branch of knowledge, and it has to be learned from revealed scriptures such as Upanishads, Vedanta Sutra, Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. To become happy in this life and attain a permanent blissful life after leaving this material world, material body, one must study this sacred literature and obtain transcendental knowledge. The conditioned living being has forgotten his eternal relationship with God and has mistakenly accepted the temporary place of birth as all in all. Nice. And who's talking like this? This kind of language, this kind of philosophy, this kind of Krishna consciousness, this kind of God consciousness. Now, of course, all followers of Prabhupada, followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, followers of Advaita Acharya, we had to do that drama. We still have those actors here. Now our devotees in New York, in China, in Israel, everywhere, they are talking. As soon as you come in contact with devotees of Krishna, immediately they begin talking differently. Otherwise, who was talking before 41 years? But in India some talk was going on. But now this is becoming talk of the town. People are some small villages or townships where there are only Hare Krishna devotees. Everyone talks like this. And this will spread. So in 41 years ago, it was Prabhupada, besides some other Vaishnavas, in different Vaishnava sampradayas and their followers were talking. But then Prabhupada broadcasted this talk. Started from New York and then... So started with one person, we could say. And now how many persons are hooked up?
10,000.
Only? There was the newspaper article in, not newspaper article, Newsweek magazine said the fastest growing religion in former Soviet Union is Hare Krishna. And then they said in the article that there are 700,000 followers. What do you read? You want a challenge?
4 years ago, Bhakti Vigyan Maharaj was calculating, and there were 250,000.
So it's ticking. It was way back, maybe 25 years ago. In America, they did polling. Some polling. They had different religions listed and you had to pick a religion that you follow. And the Hare Krishna was not even on the list. But we were hearing that, and we were talking like that. One person, or small person, at least small person, American, they stated Hare Krishna is our religion. And that, what is that ball called? Some name on party, they always do this kind of surveys. So that was a big number. That was coming as a big number. Hundreds and thousands of Americans. Hare Krishna. And now Hare Krishna movement has spread in 160 countries. This last Janmashtami was celebrated in 160 countries. Janmashtami is Krishna exists, he has a form. He looks like this, he plays his flute, he takes birth, he has transcendental activities, and
how many countries are
there? Over 200.
So we are
getting there.
Million.
So this talk is spreading. So one bhakta talks of bhakti, and from bhakta comes bhakti. If you are bhakta, then you give bhakti to others. Jarida Kotareka Krishna Upadesh. And give prasad. Krishna enters your belly, and then heart is not very far, right, from the belly. First he enters your stomach, then your heart. And anyone who takes Krishna prasad, he feels obliged. He feels that he should do something for that Krishna, sooner or later. All those who are taking, and still they take prasad at our Alachwa, near Alachwa, there's a university, and I think that's the oldest Food for Life program ISKCON has, for the last 30 years or something. Regularly, every day, there's a lunch served out to the students. So from that Food for Life program, students have become now big officers and big, they're in different positions and posts. And devotees always come across those students, and they're always willing to, you know, do some favor to Hare Krishna devotees, or help them in some way, getting this permission, tax exemption, or, you know, because they had been taking Krishna prasad, and they feel that now their turn to do something for that Krishna, that Krishna's devotees. And so like that, Krishna consciousness spreads, impersonalism is defeated, and materialism is shattered, but Krishna consciousness spreads on and on, a little more. They mutually assist each other to same goal, overcome the contamination of heart. This jnana and karma, Baldev Vidya Bhushan is talking. Jnana and karma are mutually assisting each other to the same goal, overcoming the contamination of heart, mrityum, by thinking of actions such as sacrifice, as offering to the Lord. Having attained inner purification, he attains liberation. Amritatvam, by means of Atmagyan, Vidyaya. He is explaining how sacrifice is also purifying, and that's Karma Khan, the Gyan Khan is also purifying. So it's positive, put in the positive light. There are benefits from both of these, there are benefits. The purification is there. But once you are pure, what do you do? That's the point. So if it is targeted towards Krishna, moving forward, upward, positivity, then it's welcome. Otherwise you get stuck, you get entangled, you get in the wrong direction. Madhvacharya says, defeating false knowledge full of misery and ignorance attains knowledge and bliss, true knowledge. Defeating false knowledge, one becomes, attains knowledge and bliss. Defeating false knowledge. So what is Krishna consciousness doing?
Defeating.
Yeah, defeating. It is defeat. It's a battle. It's fighting. Prabhupada. Preaching is what?
Yeah.
Fighting, he said. Preaching is fighting.
War against Maya.
War against Maya. Okay, here you go. And even last days, he wanted to, while battling, he wanted to depart. Not lying on the bed.
He wanted to go on the parikram.
He wanted to go on the Bulakhar Sankirtan, Bulakhar party. And he wanted to, he had that spirit, while battling. So there's a war. So we may not be always facing with karmis and gyanis, but in us, Prabhus, we have to, in us there's a karmi and gyani still hidden. So this talk is directed to that hidden karmi, hidden jnani within us. So when we jnana karma adi anavratam, then what will happen? Then bhakti will blossom. Be blooming. Lotus will bloom. The bhakti will dance. Vrindavan is that place where bhakti is dancing, bhaktas are dancing in ecstasy. So we do occasionally dance, but then other times we have another mood, and ups and downs, and not steady yet, not fixed, not dhiras, not two minds. So what is pulling us? This karma, this jnana, the traces, the samskaras are there. They attack us from time to time. They take over, they slow us down, they're stumbling blocks. The karmi tendencies of karmi and jnani tendencies of jnana are, the traces are there. So by studying this, we're trying to eradicate those spots, black spots. And anukulena krishna anusilam bhakti uttam. Bhakti is uttam because it's cerebrally disposed. And it's free from jnana and karma. This is the subject matter. About transcending jnana and karma. Jnana karma. Let's go forward. And Oh, you don't have power. Oh.
Did we try the better in the bathroom? Merging these parts together.
Can you show me Bhakti Vinod Thakur? 11th chapter, 11th verse. Sure, it's here. Can you tell me? It's the last commentary and we stop and then short drama. Go. What are you saying?
What was your question? I said, in Prabhupada, Sri Prabhupada speaks about merging the two passes together. Because
two what?
Slowly decrease the fever of material disease.
Yeah, so bring it to 98.6 something you say. Instead the world is increasing it to 107.
107. Nuclear.
Yeah, Holocaust. Atomic. And the global warming is coming up now. Even the snow is melting and levels of ocean are rising and Bombay will be drowned.
Yeah.
In 40 years. Yeah, and that's why one physicist was proposing that the human beings on this planet should look for a lifeboat. When you are in a boat and boat is in trouble, you look for another boat. He was saying this planet is in a risky situation, this may be drowning. He was proposing, in fact, that everyone should go to another planet. easy way out, right?
And then destroy that planet.
Prabhupada said, why if they are going to that planet, why they are coming back?
Because they're not meant to.
Yeah, they cannot stay there.
By karma, by activities. Ravana was trying to go there, just climbing the ladder. So this is the final commentary statement today we have to deal with, which is very wonderful. Maya, which is shelter, you may like to note down, mental notes or Maya, which is shelter of both Vidya and Avidya. Maya is shelter for both.
Maya is the shelter.
For Vidya and Avidya. Maya is controlling. Listen to more. Is not completely different from Chit Shakti, spiritual energy of the Lord. It's not different. Maya is not different from Chit Shakti. Spiritual energy.
Knowledge.
But rather it's shadow. Spiritual energies, Chit Shakti's shadow is this Maya Shakti. A modification, he says. Whatever is in shadow exists in original object, in complete form and faultless form. Whatever is in shadow exists. We were talking tree and real tree and the shadow in the water. So, similar ideas there. Whatever is in the shadow exists in original object, in complete form. Thus, without a doubt, ideal form of both Vidya and Avidya exists in Chit Shakti. In Chit Shakti, spiritual Shakti. He first said, Maya has two energies. Vidya and Avidya. And the Maya Shakti is a shadow of the Chit Shakti, spiritual energy. So the Maya Shakti has Vidya and Avidya. What is the origin of this Vidya and Avidya?
Chit.
Spiritual energy. In the spiritual realm also there is a Vidya, Avidya. And it is reflected here on this level. The Gyan, Karma and Gyan, as we were talking before, false shadow and the reality. Gyan, Karma, Gyan, Karma, Gyan. And
Avidya Dhyan also? Avidya Dhyan also?
Which one is Karma? Activity. Let's go on. doesn't things that become more clear. Thus, without a doubt, ideal forms of both vidya and avidya exist in chit shakti. If jiva is striving for spiritual forms, takes care to destroy the perverted forms of vidya and avidya in matter, then he can see the variety of quality in spiritual energy. If we succeed, jiva succeed in destroying this vidya, avidya. Vidya destroys matter, we were reading that earlier. Vidya destroys matter, defeats matter. Then he perverted form is defeated, and then he is accepting or getting fixed up in the variety of quality of the spiritual energy, the spiritual variegatedness of the spiritual kingdom. Okay, this is just temporary, not false, it's temporary, and he is defeating or staying out of it, staying away from it, or only maybe using as much as necessary according to Ishabhasha principle, not wanting to grab the whole thing, making the best use of the bad bargain. The body is there, you can't get rid of it, so just use this body in service of the Lord, and whatever house you are made up of matter, you defeat your house, defeat your matter by what?
Knowledge.
How? You put a bomb? Spiritualize the house. How? A temple. Jedina grihete bhajana dekhi. Grihete goloka bhaya bhakti no thakur se. The day there was a kirtan in my house, and those Hare Krishnas came, and they're dancing, and that mridanga, why mridanga was being played. Anande ridaya nache, my heart was just throbbing, dancing. So, you are defeated. You have defeated the matter, or spiritualize the matter, Krishnaize the matter, Iskonize the matter. So you are defeated, and the form is there, everything is there. So that's the idea here. So when he takes support of variety, he not longer meets destruction at the hands of material vidya, which with its concept of no variety and quality. Vidya, Mayavad is vidya. Mayavad is vidya, Mayavad is knowledge, is no variety, no energy, no activity. So by seeing an ideal spiritual counterpart, okay? Counterpart, you understand? The forms are there, activities are there, everything. Food is there, song is there, dance is there, you name it, and it's there in the spiritual world and spiritual realm. It's not dry or... So you have found a counterpart. So by seeing the ideal spiritual counterpart, real objects and variety, material avidya, material variety becomes transformed into the ideal counterpart, spiritual qualities and form. Then jiva, with clear realization of his own spiritual form, now he's also realizing he has a form, he's a spirit soul, he's a person, he has a form, and the form of Paramatma has a form, and their spiritual relationship. Ishopanishad is teaching what?
Relationship between
jiva and jiva's Paramatma, and the relationship between the two. So their relationship can experience spiritual wrath. Then the jiva, with a clear realization of his own spiritual form of Paramatma, and their spiritual relation, can experience spiritual wrath, mellow. Some juice, rust. Rust means juice. Life could be juicy, full of juice, full of anand and happiness. So this way he is settled in the reality and things as they are, and taking their direct meaning of shastras, not screwing it up. So then the whole material world also could be like a Krishna's world, and he tried to spiritualize. So there was time in Sati Yuga, everything was, Brahmins everywhere, mantras chanted everywhere, cows protected in temples, and yajnas, and ideal kings, and kings would observe festivals, and kings would participate in festivals, places of pilgrimage, and sages in the river banks, and water was crystal clear as their own minds. No carrying bisleri water. Shanti everywhere. Namo Brahmande Devaya, Go Brahmanaitaya, Jagaditaya, Krishnaya, Govindaya, Namo Namo. And the drama, okay? There you go. So,
start the drama.